Hey guys, welcome to another Bankless State of the Nation. This is the episode where we talk about something big that is happening in the crypto community, in the Bankless Nation. Today, that big thing is Axie Infinity, the crypto game. You may know something about. The growth has been absolutely phenomenal. This community is like a small nation at this point. We're going to dive right into it. David, how are you doing today, man?
Absolutely. Fantastic. I've always just thoroughly enjoyed the intersection of Ethereum and gaming, as many in the Bankless Nation are as well. I'm sure they're gamers. I'm a gamer. I like games with scarce assets. I like collecting games with scarce assets. And so I want this world to be built out. And it really looks like Axie Infinity, which has been around for a while, but has really just absolutely exploded in the last few months or so, is really working on that intersection of scarce assets and games. And people like games, and people, humans, like scarcity. So it seems to be a logical intersection.
David, you know what, man? We've never actually had games with truly scarce assets. Right. They've been centralized controlled scarce assets, but they've not been true scarce assets. And that is part of the innovation here. And you're right that Axie first came on our radar a few years ago, right? I mean, we've written stories in Bankless about Axie for a while. So while this might seem like an overnight success story, it's like a 3-year overnight success story. These guys have been grinding. And when I say grinding, they've been building like hell. They've been creating an impressive, very immersive game. They've been scaling. Maybe most importantly, they have been crushing it in terms of building out their community. And it's an incredible community. It's like extremely international. So a lot to talk about here. And as David was saying, this is not just, as you were saying, David, the third person here. This is not, what's exciting about this is it's not just Axie. This is a harbinger of things to come. Like, I think we are going to see the gaming industry completely revolutionized over the next 10 to 15 years by games like Axie. So take Axie, right? And then extrapolate what it can do, but also extrapolate that to the gaming industry writ large. And you have a pretty massive story here. That's why it's important that we're covering it on Bankless.
Absolutely. I can only imagine how much more addicted to video games I would have been when I was young. If there was financial
you would
incentives.
Have been super rich.
Me and a bunch of other people, right? But just imagine when we have economic incentives, which are already working. World of Warcraft is a massive economic platform. Imagine if we add just real world economics where you can take your real world value or your now real world value in the game and take it outbound. Anyways, we need to get into the conversation.
Yeah, we
with
do.
Jeff.
We do. All right, guys. But before we do, what's new? A few things that are new. We just launched the Bankless Job Board. David, I'm going to show this on my screen really cool because I'm super excited about the Bankless Jobs Board. So we've talked about your Bankless journey. Of course, you can use DeFi. You can buy crypto assets. You can also work in the crypto industry. We've got already close to 20 jobs on the job board, just launched yesterday. I've got 7 in review. I've got to review these jobs and approve them. But software engineer at Arbitrum, senior designer at Pooled Together. These are jobs for crypto natives. So check that out. We'll include a link in the show notes for you there. As far as other announcements, David, we've got some really exciting podcast content, show content coming up. Staking panel tomorrow. What time are we doing that?
We are doing that a little late. It's going to be a late staking panel because, as we all know, proof of stake works equally across the globe. Therefore, stakers are spread equally across the globe. And so that is happening at 11 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And we have the teams from Rocket Pool, from Lido, and also from Coinbase Staking. So we have the complete spectrum of centralized to decentralized staking services. And so we are going to have a staking panel with the 3 premier staking services out there to help you understand what it means to stake your Ether.
We've got also the Arthur Zero X podcast that just dropped yesterday. That is the story from somebody who got into DeFi in 2018, went from 6 figures to 9 figures, and now has a $500 million fund, the largest DeFi-focused fund in Asia. An absolutely incredible story, and the insights from the Arthur Zero X conversation were just jam-packed, full of really interesting content. During this crab market, that's when you can start to absorb content because you're not looking at price the whole time. So go check that out. Also, David, we are recording a podcast, in the next couple of days. And that is being published on Monday. What's that one going to be about? I know we're both excited about it.
Yeah, this is going to be with Tarun Chitra. And this is one of the podcasts where the guest actually is informing us as to what we need to talk about. And so Tarun, he's a gigabrain. He's one of the MEV thinkers and innovators in this space, but also just really pays attention to mechanism design. He's a frequent co-host on the Zero Knowledge podcast, and he is teaching us all about the history and current state of electronic markets. And so we are going to get schooled on electronic markets with Tarun Chitra coming on Monday.
My favorite episodes are the episodes where we get schooled, David. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the best ones. I expect to get schooled during this episode, by the way. All right, before we begin, want to ask the question I ask you every single time at the start of State of the Nation. That is, what is the state of the nation today, sir?
The state of the nation is gaming, but gaming is different now. Gaming, interestingly enough, gamers, there's a lot of games out there that have farming mechanics where you go and you play the same parts of the same game over and over and over again to grind and collect stuff in the game to like level up. That's the same thing with Axie Infinity, but now it's actually farming tokens and stuff and just experience and leveling up your assets on Ethereum. So the state of the nation today, Ryan, is gaming. We are learning how to game with all of our digital assets.
This is the play to earn business model. Super exciting. All right. We are going to introduce Jiho from Axie in just a minute. But before we do, we want to thank the sponsors who made this episode possible.
The Aave protocol is a decentralized liquidity protocol on Ethereum, which allows users to supply and borrow certain crypto assets. Aave version 2 has a ton of cool features that makes using the Aave protocol even more powerful. With Aave, you can leverage the full power of DeFi money Legos, yield, and composability all in one application. On Aave, there are a ton of assets that you can supply to the protocol in order to gain yield, and all of those same assets can also be borrowed from the protocol if you have supplied collateral. One of my favorite Aave features is the ability to select a stable interest rate. Once I've selected a stable interest rate, I'm protected against any interest rate volatility that may happen in DeFi and allows me to plan my DeFi finances for the long term. V2 also features the ability for users to swap collateral without having to withdraw your assets, trade them on Uniswap, and then deposit them back into Aave. With Aave, users can do this in one seamless transaction, saving you time and gas costs. Check out the power of Aave at aave.com. That's Aave.com. Balancer is a powerful platform for flexible automated market makers. Typical AMMs just have two tokens inside of one liquidity pool, which can lead to fractured liquidity across the many pairs in DeFi. With Balancer, you can access the full power of multiple tokens inside of one single AMM, which unlocks an entirely new playing field of possibility. This makes Balancer an awesome building block for so many different use cases. Balancer pools can make asset indices, but instead of paying fees to portfolio managers, Balancer lets you collect the fees from traders who use your portfolio for liquidity. Additionally, Balancer smart pools can be programmed to have properties that change according to predetermined rules, such as changing the swap fees based on market conditions, or even liquidity bootstrapping pools, which can help you launch and distribute your token with day one liquidity. At Bankless, we use a liquidity bootstrapping pool to sell our BAP t-shirts to much success. V2 brings powerful new features that makes your money work even harder for you. In V2, idle tokens are capable of generating yield in DeFi without sacrificing liquidity in the pool using asset managers. Balancer's vault architecture lets you trade between Balancer pools at a fraction of the cost versus other platforms. And you can even take advantage of dynamic fees, which automatically adapt to changing market conditions. Balancer's mission is to become the primary source of liquidity in DeFi by providing the most flexible and powerful platform for asset management and decentralized exchange. Dive into the Balancer pools at app.balancer.fi.
Hey guys, we are back. We are here with Jeff Jiho Zerlin. We are going to call him Jiho for the rest of this episode. That's what he goes by in the Axie community. He's the co-founder and the growth lead of Sky Mavis. That is the studio, the group that created Axie Infinity. And Jiho and the Axie team have really grown this into one of the largest communities in the world. I think we're going to start with some growth metrics, but like, this is rivaling Fortnite inside, at least in terms of Discord server. That's how big this game has gotten over the last 3 years. It's grown into an internet native economy with an internet native community. It also calls itself a nation, Bankless Nation. You might be familiar with that. Lots of cool themes coming up. Jiho, it's great to have you. Welcome to Bankless.
Thanks for the invite. Super happy to be here.
Dude, we are super excited to have you here. I think some people have been sleeping on Axie like for a while, and some people may have heard of it like a couple of years ago, and then just haven't paid as much attention to it. Of course, there's tons of users, tons of gamers where the opposite is true. You guys have brought many into crypto. But let's talk with this kind of growth story because your recent explosion has been crazy. And I think this is why Axie has been on everyone's radar. Why has Axie Infinity exploded in growth over the last few months? I want to talk about a few things. User growth, revenue growth, 25 million daily volume, 50K NFTs sold per day, 250K daily active players, 200,000 Discord members. That's on track to pass Fortnite as the largest Discord server in the world. This is absolutely insane. Why are you guys growing this fast over the last few months?
It's a culmination of factors. I think the Axie community, Sky Mavis, we built throughout the bear market. It was brutal, right? Nobody cared about NFTs. Nobody cared about Ethereum. Nobody cared about blockchain. We just kept building and talking to users, figuring out issues, right? And it took kind of a while to put all the pieces together, right? Building a blockchain game is probably 10x harder than building a kind of conventional mainstream game, right? You need to get the gameplay right. It needs to be fun. Then you also have to get the game economy right. Like this whole idea of economic freedom for gamers, it only works if, right, there are true property rights. You think very thoughtfully about how to enable these secondary markets for the players, right? So there's the in-game economy, and then there's the scaling, there's the infrastructure, right? We love Ethereum. We used Ethereum, and we still use Ethereum, right? So basically, we had to scale, right? So we've built this ETH side chain. It's called Ronin, and a migration to Ronin after, right, like 2 or 3 years of building up this really strong base of the community, we migrated to Ronin, and this just allowed like for transaction throughput to increase, and all these it unlocked the player market. The secondary market unlocks so much latent demand for Axies. A lot of people, right, who've been watching, saying, "Oh, like this seems really interesting," but the gas fees were a little bit of a turn off. When we made that transition to the side chain, it was like, okay, like, now I can finally jump in. So I think a lot of people thought that at the same time.
This is like so cool because we did a series, a podcast series, Jiho, not too long ago on bear market builders. But it was all focused on like the DeFi protocols who didn't give up during the bear market, right? So it was like Synthetix and Aave and like Nexus Mutual and a few others. And we recorded that and did that in 2020. And this was like on the back of DeFi Summer, where all of their ideas were basically validated, right? And it felt really good. Now I feel like is the time for Axie Infinity and what you guys are doing with crypto games and the ability to own your own assets on the blockchain on Ethereum. Now, all of that work that you guys put in over the last 3 years during the bear market is being validated. I'm showing some numbers here. Like this is sales volume, guys. Monthly sales volume here. 25 million. Is that daily? Daily.
Wow.
We're doing on
absolutely insane. Here is the number of Axies being bred. And Axie, by the way, for people who aren't familiar, maybe we should just mention that. What is an Axie? There's these cute little, like, kind of, how would you describe these? Like monsters?
Yeah, I think of them as fantasy pets that you can battle and collect,
Okay.
use them to earn some crypto, or learn about Ethereum, earn some Ethereum.
So 80, 60, wait, let's see, 50K of these things being bred on a daily basis. So this community is absolutely exploded. And I think it's all thanks to the work that you guys were doing during the bear market because so many crypto game studios and so many others just gave up. I want to talk specifically about Layer 2 because that seemed to be a catalyst for your growth. But before we do, why didn't you guys give up like the rest of them during the bear run? It was so easy at that time.
There's a lot of factors. At first, I think we always knew that we were onto something really special. The community, right? Even when it was super small, they were making musicals, they were getting tattoos, they were building tools. So we saw all the kind of ingredients. It was just about how to amplify this and get to the next level. And we saw that, okay, like if we can scale, if we can have some sort of ERC-20 token integrated into the game, or ERC-20 tokens integrated into the game. So it was like, I think we always saw the next step, right? And we were talking to the users and they inspired us. Our community inspired us every single step of the way. And yeah, there was always, right, like there were always little signs that we were onto something. And yeah, the team that we have is super special. A lot of us, right, like are lifelong gamers. So it's like, we compete and we like to win. And I think that's part of our culture. Giving up was never an option. It was also, if a lot of us, right, come from like product development backgrounds and understood that it's actually, right, the way to win is to be early to the right market and just keep building, right? Like the bear market, actually, we like that because other people aren't trying to catch up to us, right? They're having a lot of issues like fundraising, like with morale. So the bear markets, that's 100% where the opportunity is, right? And you cannot form a community like Axie's during a bull market, right? You just attract only these mercenaries, right? It's like all these people who are more about the hype than the tech, right? Obviously, there's a combination of both in every community, but it's really important to have as kind of the pillars, as the foundation, these people that are really in it because of the, right, like the economic revolution that's happening. I think like we have enough of those types of people in our community. We thought that it was just about building towards product market fit, and it's
amazing. One thing that I was thinking as Dave and I were going through the agenda for this yesterday was basically like, if you're in, and this is a message to Bankless listeners, if you see an amazing community that's somewhat underground, it's a dare market, but like doesn't have mainstream attention, but it's just an amazing, incredible community that's somewhat underground, that is a signal for you to go get involved. Like maybe not financial advice, go buy the asset, right? Because good things happen out of good communities. That is a key insight. I think that is repeatable.
That rule has never been broken in crypto.
It really hasn't.
Jeff, I have a question for you. And there's so many topics that we want to get into. We want to get into the mechanics of digital assets inside of the game. We want to get into Axie's relationship with Ethereum versus L2s and what it means to have revenue. But first, I want to ask a question. Why now? Why is Axie blowing up now? Because DeFi summer was a year ago, and then the NFT mania was like 5 months ago. And there's both NFTs and tokens inside of Axie Infinity, but it seems to have claimed its own success for its own reasons, under its own merits, without some sort of just like fundamental catalyst behind the ecosystem or whatever's going on in the rest of crypto. So why is Axie Infinity blowing up right now?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's not simple. There are a variety of kind of intertwined catalysts, mm-hmm. right? We were deployed to Ronin in late April, and since then we've been growing around 30% a week. It has spiked, right? So all metrics basically at least 30%. Discord users, volume, DAU, traffic to the site, all going up around 30 to 35% per week, right? It's within the last week that things went 50 to 70%. And it's like everyone in crypto kind of started taking a look at us. Also, right, it's kind of like we're in this, as you mentioned, we're in a crab market, right? So it's like we were doing really well for most of the year, but everyone in crypto is doing really well. But I think like this fact that we've kind of, in some ways, decoupled from a lot of the rest of the market, like our economy is doing quite well. Even though we're in this kind of flat to down market right now, I think it's really, people are bored, right? And they're looking for something interesting happening in crypto. And right now, right, like we happen to be where the growth is, where the excitement is. I think that's a lot of it as well.
So Jeff, we want to go into all those questions that I was talking about, but I want to just illustrate what the gameplay of Axie Infinity actually is. So maybe can you describe what it's like to play Axie Infinity? What's the goals? Like, what's the game mechanics? What do you do? What's the end goal of Axie Infinity?
Yeah. So right now, so we don't look at Axie as just one game. We see it as an entire universe of games. The product that's on the market right now that's gotten us to its current level of traction is this kind of pretty basic card battler. So basically, you fight two teams of three Axies against each other. There's both PvP, so you can fight against other players. There's PvE, you can fight against monsters called Chimera. And yeah, the goal is to basically use your energy. So you start each round with three energy or a certain amount of energy. And the goal is to basically use those energy to play cards that are going to give you the best chance of winning, right? So it's kind of like you have to know what your opponent's axes are capable of playing. You need to know like your team really well and kind of think of counters. And yeah, it can get quite complex, especially with the mind games. And you can even skip turns and basically like save your energy for a larger kind of more devastating combo later. So it's quite basic, but I think it is, it's, you know, pretty proven. It's like a very interesting, I think, kind of card battler mechanic. And some people might think that it's similar to games like Slay the Spire, you know, Hearthstone. It's kind of like a combination of a lot of the card games we grew up playing, you know, over the last 10 or so years.
And so what's the progression like? As you get better and better at the game, do you like level up? Do you find more scarce items? Tell us about the progression.
Yeah, definitely. So when you win a battle, you actually earn these tokens called Smooth Love Potions. Those are actually what are required to breed or create more axes, right? So we don't sell axes, right? So almost all the axes that exist out there, except for very few that were created during special kind of primary sale events, all those axes are created by players. In order to actually create an axie, right, you need to use those tokens. So the creation of an axie is kind of like a proof of work system where each axie is the result of real time spent in game. And I think that's one of the key mechanics. And yeah, I think like, for example, the Smooth Love Potion, this is, I think, like the first time that human effort has ever been kind of like tokenized into an asset.
That's really, really cool. And that's definitely a topic that we want to dive into more when we get to the assets section of this conversation. But first, you said something that the Axie Infinity or the gameplay that Ryan is showing right now on screen, that's just one possible game of future Axie Infinity games. So these characters, these little cute little Axie Infinity monsters can go and in the future play, be a part of other games that is built out of your guys' studio?
Definitely. I mean, first of all, we are also deploying a huge upgrade to this current battle system. It's called, you know, kind of like in crypto, we call everything V2, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, we have a Battles V2 coming out hopefully later this year or early next year. But then, yeah, we're also working on land, right? So land might be something similar to Clash of Clans, Rise of Kingdoms, where you're actually, you own a land plot, you can build it up. Build structures on it, harvest resources, right? Imagine if you're playing Clash of Clans or Farmville, right? And those resources are actual tokens. I think that's a dream that a lot of people have actually had since like DeFi summer. I tried to kind of, you know, sound the alarm saying, this is actually what we've been building. It just takes 3 years. Like none of you guys from the DeFi community are actually gonna build it. Like we're gonna build it. Like it's just give us, you know, give us some more time. So yeah, like the land system, I think, is going to really resonate with a lot of people. That's also on the way. And then long term, right? Sky Mavis, you might think of us as the Axie Core developers right now. We're never going to be able to build enough content, I think, to satisfy the number of players that we hope to have within the ecosystem.
That's a right? good problem to have.
Yeah, hundreds of millions of players. I don't know, you know, the sky's the limit. We believe that in order for us to be able to scale and scale the content within the ecosystem, we really need to allow right community members, other game developers to come into the Axie universe, use the IP. One way to think of Axie is, you know, kind of a protocol for internet monster games using this awesome art. There's so many game developers out there who are really smart. They know how to make games really well. What do they lack? They lack art, they lack a passionate community, and they lack an ability to get funded or basically how to put together kind of like an in-game economy. So there's a lot of things that, right, that come kind of inherent with the Axie model. You just need to come in, right, like with the urge to build and make something awesome. So long term, we're going to have an SDK, and I think that's going to really unlock so much latent talent.
This is so cool. So if you're like back in the day, like a mod developer, right, you could just like plug right into not only this SDK from a technical perspective, but you're really plugging into this economy, this whole economic incentive mechanism that Axie has really built up. Let's talk about this for a minute, Jiho, because I want to get to kind of the assets. And an interesting way to maybe frame this is for some of the items that we were talking about, like the Smooth Love Potions and the Axies themselves, like what are these things exactly? Are some of them NFTs? Are some of them ERC-20s? Could you just suss out in like bankless native lingo, DeFi native lingo, what these things are and what are the scarce elements of the game? What are the tokenized elements of the game?
Yeah, definitely. So the actual NFTs within the game, these are axes, as well as the land plots, the land items, right? So these are the unique tokens. The resources within the game are the ERC-20s. And we have two tokens right now within our game. There's the Smooth Love Potion, and then there's the Axis Governance token. These are both ERC-20 tokens. Fun fact, we actually also, back in the day, as kind of a fun experiment, we dropped DAI. We dropped Aave token. This is like, you know, way before like
I kind of remember this.
Yeah, this is way before Maker Protocol blew up. Way before Aave. Right? This is I think we had the old Aave tokens. So it's like super, super long time ago. The Lend. We did some cool experiments where, yeah, these DeFi protocols. This is also like the key to sustaining this economy long term. Is right, like, exogenous actors, right? Like they're like saying, okay, this is an interesting distribution channel for my token to get it into the hands of people who are a strong community. That's a crucial point. I think maybe we can talk more about it later. So that's just what do you think of it as, like the game characters, right? As well as the homes for the pets, they're non-fungible tokens. And then the kind of the in-game resources are ERC-20.
And they're all connected to the DeFi, like to Ethereum and sort of the composability of DeFi. So if you have a Smooth Love Potion, right, there's like a Uniswap market for that. Is there a Uniswap V3 market for Smooth
Love Potions? Yeah, there's actually, I've heard really good things about the V3 pool. Everyone, like, you need to join this pool. Like, it's super, there's a lot of volume. They're trying to school me on, you know, V3 is a tough beast to tackle, even for like a DeFi event, right? I've been so busy. So I have like people messaging me each week, like, yeah, like, even people are getting onboarded into Axie because they just find out that the SLP V3 pool is like awesome. So yeah, that's an amazing thing, right? Is like in the future, gamers, an increasingly large number of gamers will start to demand that your in-game resources have liquidity on Uniswap. Yes. Or a similar AMM, right? That's the big, I think that's the one of the core discoveries that we made in 2020 that has gotten us to this point where we realized that in the future, right, like games or like the growth and marketing people and their team on teams, they're not going to be like looking at like, oh, like what's our Facebook ad spend looking like? What's our Instagram ad spend looking like this month, right? I think that era is over for at least like, a lot of indie game devs, right? They're going to be looking at like, okay, like, you know, how can we incentivize more liquidity for our in-game resources? How can we build up more liquidity, right? Assessing that rather than these like, you know, marketing budgets and things like that.
Yeah, it's somewhat like, I think in the future, it'll be like, if your token's not listed on Uniswap, does it even exist? Right. You know what I mean? Like if your asset's not there, where is it? I do believe that a Uniswap or the successor to Uniswap will become the biggest marketplace for human exchange the world has ever seen. And like digital items are going to really push the envelope there. So, okay. So we've got the composability of DeFi, and that includes obviously all the ERC-20 tokens like AXS or Love Potions. Then also Axies could be sold in kind of the composability of the NFT market. So you could sell your Axie on OpenSea or something like that. Can we talk a little bit about the token economics? I know you mentioned token economics for Love Potions. Maybe a quick refresher on that. It sounds like you actually have to play the game in order to earn it. So it's like time spent in the game earns farming, the love potions. It's like a proof potions. Of work. Yeah. Farming love potions. And then also the token economics of AXS. So does someone earn that, or how does that work in general? Could you talk about those two?
Sure. So SLP, Smooth Love Potions, right? This is kind of, it's uncapped. It has kind of like a reflexive supply, right? So you can earn it by playing the game, you know, doing PvP battles or fighting monsters, and then you burn it by breeding. So we look at the minting rate from playing, and we look at the burn rate, and we can make economic adjustments. We can sometimes increase the amount of SLP needed to breed if we see that not enough is being burned and too much is breed. So it's, in some ways, right, like there's some there's a lot of math that goes involved into that, and hopefully over time that can be done by like an algorithm or done by governance, just like the maker stability fee. And then yeah, so that's kind of basically how that works. And it's crazy. It's a phenomenon in the Philippines. It's like a trend where businesses are now starting to be like, hey, like we're cool. We accept SLP. You can come buy, I think, like cakes. There are apartments where you can pay your rent. This is like a kind of a, you know, this is a trend, and it's something to watch in the Philippines. It's super interesting. Axis, on the other end, this is the governance token. It has a cap supply, right? Like we emit it through playing the game, but in more kind of very specific ways, right? So you can earn it by getting at the top of the leaderboard. You can earn it by kind of contributing to the community, right? So like, you know, we're increasingly starting to rely on more like, you know, decentralized DAO kind of contributors, right? People who are helping out on the community side of things. People who are, we do contests as well, right? Like we pay it. We just had an amazing short video contest that came out, and you know, we paid out the rewards and access for that, right? So we have different distribution mechanisms to get it into the hands of the community members.
What's actually being governed over with the AXS tokens? What does that token, what's the power behind that token?
Yeah, sure. So right now, there, you know, governance has not been implemented yet, but what is happening is that, so 4.25% of all the NFT volume within our ecosystem, right? It's like $300 million this month. 4.25% of that is going into a community treasury. We also have breeding fees. So part of the breeding fee is paid in SLP. The other part is paid in Axis. So yeah, basically these fees, right? It's like, it would be so centralized, right? Too centralized for us to, you know, as the game developers to take, you know, the entire marketplace fee, these breeding fees, right? In the end, it's like we would be kind of this extractive middleman. So, you know, we worked with Delphi Digital on this actually, where we basically created this governance tokens where long-term we can basically, you know, put over control of that treasury to the DAO members. I think there's also a lot of other things that could be decided by governance. For example, like, you know, maybe like policies and punishments on automation, right? It's like a lot of people ask, like, how can, you know, all blockchain games should allow a bots, right? Like that's like some people think that. It's maybe like, I understand why they would think that if they haven't built a blockchain game, talk to users, right? Like our users, they really hate bots because they feel like it's, right, like automating them out of a job, it's competing with them, it's unfair, right? So, you know, if we were to, right, like, yeah, so I think like something like that could also be decided by governance as well, long-term. Also maybe perhaps, right, content within the universe, you know, there might need to be like certain like restrictions and, you know, rules around like, you know, fair use of content, but it shouldn't long-term, it doesn't make sense for us as Sky Mavis to do that. So those are just some of the things I think that,
I think this really fits into the overall theme of crypto and DeFi of itself, where the token allows the users or participants of an ecosystem to become also the owners of the ecosystem, right? It really changes what it means to be a play to earn game where, you know, you play to earn what? Money? or ownership in the actual platform. Like that's the cool new thing. And back in DeFi somewhere, we talked about these governance tokens. Like, oh yeah, if you're a user of Compound, you get comp token issued to you. Now you own part of Compound. That's like if Uber was issuing Uber equity to every time a driver gave a drive or a rider took a ride. Like, oh, same model. Now it's about games. And so now we have these gaming platforms where the users can grind their way into ownership of around the overall platform. And that seems to be the quote-unquote new paradigm that Axie Infinity is really tapping into.
We know that gaming communities are some of the most passionate in the world, right? That's so true. Imagine when you actually give them ownership of the game, right? How much more they're going to do to help it. So I think that's really what we've seen. I also, right, like we think a lot about decentralization, and there are different layers at which you decentralize things and timing, right? For our users, the things that they want control of are the peer-to-peer exchange of game assets and eventually ownership of the entire game. Those are the things that they care about the most right now. In terms of right the data storage, they're okay with a side chain for now, and then being with the ability to settle back to Ethereum.
Gio, I feel like you guys have played this really well, right? There's some uncertainty, and there's always market narratives in crypto, right? So like all of these Ethereum killers popping up, and does a game like Axie deploy on those? Does it stick with Ethereum? All of these layer twos promised in the future, right? At one time it was Plasma. Do you remember those days? And then, you know, it turned into kind of rollups, and we're on the cusp of seeing some rollups in production, but they're not there yet. And you needed something sooner. I just feel like Axie has played the platform betting game in a very good way, because you've benefited from all of the DeFi composability of Ethereum, right? And like the settlement guarantees of Ethereum where necessary, but you've also deployed your own layer two, where those settlement guarantees are not necessary. So it's like a really smart way to play the game, because you haven't lost that composability. I'm curious to learn a bit more about, I think you call it Ronin, which is your sidechain solution. How should we think of this, right? So we generally on Bankless, we divide it into kind of two things. We've got sidechains that aren't economically secured and don't have the security guarantees of the Ethereum mainnet. And then we have rollups that provide most of the security guarantees of the Ethereum mainnet and the economic guarantees. So Polygon is probably more of a sidechain, where something like Arbitrum or Optimism or rollup is more of a layer two. Yep. So what is Ronin? And is it more like a Polygon, or is it more like kind of a layer two?
Yes, it's definitely a sidechain. I don't want to like mischaracterize ourselves as a layer two. That is something that you know is hopefully within the long-term roadmap, right? Right now, right, it's like, you know, we made a very pragmatic and practical choice for our users based on, you know, we're product people, right? So we listen to the users, we talk to them. It's like, what do you care about? But yeah, I think long-term, right, like, you know, the security, as more funds are also deposited in Ronin, we just actually hit, I think, over $200 million, right? As that number starts to balloon, there's going to be more questions, and we'll need to, you know, maybe upgrade and look at different solutions, right? So does that mean that, okay, like we have validators who are posting Merkle proofs to the mainnet or Merkle trees of some form? Possibly, right? We need to look at it, right? It's obviously, if everyone starts doing that, if everyone has a sidechain that, or everyone has a layer two and everyone starts posting, it's like that starts to balloon in fees, right? So it's like, then it's like, I've heard that, okay, maybe there's going to be another roll up that the roll ups post the roll ups to, that then posts something that's then rolled up onto Ethereum, right? So it's still up in the air.
You guys are early here though. So like, what do you think though? Massive growth that we've seen from Axie this year, was the sidechain Ronin part of that growth? Was it required even for that growth, do you think?
Yeah, I think Ronin was super important in that growth. But yeah, I think like the EVM compatibility just made things so much easier for our community, right? It's like, you know, our marketplace is all in ETH, right? Like we're doing like insane amounts of ETH volume each day on our marketplace. And yeah, like, you know, I think I just saw today that the Ronin bridge, the kind of like the Ronin deposit contract was the number one gas burner on Ethereum today, more than Uni V2. Right. So, and I think like on a normal day, we're like up, you know, in the consistently in the top three with Uniswap and Tether for the last month. Right. So yeah, I'm super excited about EIP 1559 too, because then people are going to be like, yeah, like they're going to be rooting for us, right? Even more, because they're like, yeah, like Axie is burning ETH today, right? I think that's like something that I'm so excited for.
Oh, that is absolutely what my reaction would be. Even the people that aren't involved with Axie will be rooting for its growth, exactly, along with every other game on Ethereum, just to burn more and more Ether. Jiho, there are so many more things in this conversation that I want to get to, but I want to kind of recap this summary, this section real quick. When we view the relationship between Ethereum and Axie more from a satellite's view, how would you say, why is Ethereum so important to Axie? It's got these DeFi apps that provides, you know, financial services to these assets. It provides, you know, onboarding for users. Holistically, how would you say is Ethereum's role in Axie's success and development?
I mean, we wouldn't be where we are without Ethereum, right? Like it was like our main home. Now it's kind of like our summer home. It was our main home for 2 years. Now it's kind of right like our home country, right? That we still go back and visit and have really strong like remittance links with, right? You might think of it like that. There's massive amounts of value transfer going back and forth. So yeah, it's like Ethereum allowed this all to happen, the Ethereum community. I think like it just also allows really quick innovation, right? So it's like, okay, now it's like all this AMM stuff happened on Ethereum. Like, okay, like do we need our own DEX for our game? Does that make sense, right? So I think like all these experiments that happen in EVM native systems, right? Like they can be transferred and transported. We might create something on Ronin, right? That can then, okay, like help out another EVM compatible sidechain or layer two, or even something on mainnet, right? So all this basically, right? It's like everyone is speaking the same language. And that's so key. It's like for the first time, right? It's like there's one unified financial system that's all speaking the same language. And I think like the value that gets unlocked from something like that, it's unfathomable. And I think it's going to create amazing things in the future. I hope that, you know, Axie kind of also inspires, right? Like other game developers to build these types of games. And
Guys, I just keep smiling during this episode because everything Gio is saying is just so cool and is so exciting. And we have so much more to cover with Gio. We're going to talk about the internal and external economy of Axie a bit more. We're going to get into the users, really unique global demographic of users. We're going to talk high level about where Gio sees the future of gaming and digital assets. If you are liking this show so far, make sure you subscribe to Bankless YouTube. We put these videos out on the regular. So if you are enjoying this conversation, then make sure to like and subscribe. And before we get to the second part of this conversation, we want to thank the sponsors that made this episode possible.
Bankless is proud to be supported by Uniswap. Uniswap is a new paradigm in asset exchange infrastructure. Instead of a cumbersome order book system where trades are matched with other humans, Uniswap is an autonomous piece of software on Ethereum, which is what Ryan and I call a money robot. No human counterparties or centralized intermediaries, just autonomous code on Ethereum. Input the token you want to sell and receive the token you want to buy. Something brand new in the Uniswap ecosystem is the Uniswap Grants program is now accepting applications for grants. We have been saying this for a while and we'll say it again. DAOs have money and they are in need of labor. If you think that you have something to contribute to the Uniswap DAO, apply for a grant to Uniswap. Just look at the size of the Uniswap treasury. It's almost $3 billion. This mountain of capital is looking for labor. Do you have something of value to contribute to the Uniswap DAO? No matter how big or small your idea is, you can apply for a Uni grant at unigrants.org and help steer Uniswap in the direction that you think it should go. That's exactly what we did to get Uniswap to be a sponsor for Bankless, and you can do the same for your project. Thank you, Uniswap, for sponsoring Bankless. Gemini is the world's most trusted cryptocurrency exchange. I've been a customer of Gemini since I first got into crypto in 2017, and it's been my main exchange of choice to make my crypto buys and sells. Gemini is available in all 50 states and in over 50 countries worldwide, and on Gemini there are markets for over 30 various different crypto assets, including many of the hot DeFi tokens, and it's one of the few exchanges that has liquid DAI markets. Gemini just launched their Earn program, where you can earn up to 7.4% interest on 26 various crypto assets. If you're tired of paying fees in DeFi, or you don't want to worry about DeFi exploits, but you still want to earn interest on your crypto assets, Gemini Earn is the product for you. Another product I'm stoked to get my hands on is the Gemini Crypto Back Credit Card, which gives you 3% cash back on all of your purchases, but paid to you in your preferred crypto asset. When I get my Gemini credit card, I'm going to make sure that I get my cash back in ETH. So whenever I buy something, I get a little bit of ETH bonus back to me at the same time. You can open up a free account in under 3 minutes at gemini.com/gobankless. And if you trade more than $100 within the first 30 days after sign up, you'll be gifted a free $15 Bitcoin bonus. Check them out at gemini.com/gobankless.
Guys, we are back talking Axie Infinity, the economy, the digital nation that has been spawned out of this game. Super cool. We're here with Jiho. Jiho, this has been incredible so far. I think one area we haven't covered sufficiently is talking about the users of Axie. Who is playing Axie Infinity?
We have so many different player archetypes, right? We have, you know, the collectors who are really into the scarcity and the aesthetics, right, and the art, and you know, I think they're super important to the ecosystem. We also have, right, like the people who are kind of you know, really into the competitive scene of Axie, right? They want to be at the top of the PvP leaderboard. They want to win all the tournaments, right? They're also able to, you know, get some nice Axis winnings from doing this. Then you have the kind of play to earn grinders, right? They might be playing 4 to 6 hours a day, farming love potions. They might have, you know, they might not have been able to even afford an Axie. They might have borrowed them from a friend, a family member, one of these other public programs. You know, we have the liquidity providers, right? They're, you know, they're just interested in like, you know, trading the Axie market, doing these kind of short-term strategies. Yeah.
And wait a second, Jiho. You said somebody can actually like borrow an Axie and play with it. So they don't actually have to buy, you can like borrow.
Exactly. So as the expected earnings of the theoretical future earnings of a team of Axie rises, so too does the price of a team of Axies on the marketplace. So, you know, this is obviously, it causes a dilemma where, right, like over time, and historically the price of Axies has gone up, and it's like, okay, like, you know, how do you make the game accessible? How do you get people into the ecosystem? So this system has kind of developed. It's called the scholarship system, where people who have, you know, a lot of Axies but not enough time to use them are able to lend their Axies out to these scholars who are people who, right, they have a lot of time, they want to play Axie, but they don't have, you know, the hundreds of dollars that it takes to get started with the game, right? And then, so oftentimes, right, these scholars will apply to a program with a resume or a CV or even like a video. They're getting really creative. Some programs are only taking streamers. it's like an amazing growth hack. So they're applying, then they're in many cases even signing like, you know, contracts to basically say, okay, I'm the scholar, I'll get this percentage of the tokens earned on this account while I play. The rest will be taken by the original, right, the owner of the account. So
this sounds like Jiho, a built-in franchise type system.
Exactly. I think that's been one of the keys to the growth. Is Axie is a system where anyone who, right, they're interested in blockchain, they're a bit entrepreneurial, they're great at community building, they can come in. A lot of them have come in and, right, they've kind of built these guilds, right, around themselves. And but yeah, there's, you know, kind of a real earning ability with these guilds. So yeah, there's something, there's also even there's one of these scholarship organizations called Yield Guild, YGG. And then they're even like, I think they raised the Series A, right? So they're like going out there and raising capital. And, you know, there's so much interest on this idea of the metaverse immigrant worker, right? Who, right, because you're able to earn, you know, $50, $60, maybe $70 in these play to earn economies, at least in Axie Infinity. People are kind of migrating into Axie right now. And yeah, Yield Guild is helping.
Jeff, was this whole scholarship phenomenon and lending out your Axies, was that infrastructure that the Axie team built out, or was that community-driven, community-derived?
I like to joke that the community got the idea when they were playing Animal Crossing during the pandemic, because right, you had Tom Nook, who was, you know, getting people to do all this work for him, and they're like, yeah, like me, I need to become Tom Nook with my Axies, right? Get someone to work for me. But yeah, it's primarily from within the community. We made our account system architecture flexible enough to enable this, but we weren't sure whether people would start doing. So yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of both. We're potentially, this might be a leak, we're looking at, you know, if we can make an official version of it, what that would look like. But it comes with a variety of issues, so we're still in research.
That is insanely cool. Two things come to mind. The protocol sync thesis comes to mind, which is the concept that like you could have built Axie Infinity the game and used Ethereum as you've described it and just built the game, but instead you built something deeper. You built something that people could build on top of, which allows the community, it gives agency to the community. Say, hey, you have permission to start tinkering with this game that you play. And no, it's not just the game is one feature of a more vibrant ecosystem. Much more fitting to call this thing a nation. And so I love that. And I'm also reminded of our conversation with Josh Rosenthal, who talks about how there is going to be an absolute new paradigm of what it means to be a laborer, a worker, a part of a digital organization, part of a digital community, digital nation. And it's just completely changing the game with what it means to almost do anything, really. Be a gamer on the internet, be an entrepreneur on the internet, be just an economic actor on the internet. And so this is definitely one of those examples of there's this community out there that is really taking this opportunity by the horns rather than doing whatever they were doing by playing like Team Fortress 2 or Overwatch or whatever in the Web 2 world. So I think that's really, really cool. I want to go into the demographics of the community a little bit more. It's largely Asian based, Asia based. Is that correct? And then what parts of Asia does Axie Infinity particularly find resonance with?
Yeah, so our game is, or Axie is huge in the Philippines right now. I think around 60% of our users are from the Philippines. We have, I think, some of the largest streamers in the Philippines, if not the largest, are also starting to stream Axie Infinity. There, so it's kind of like a really special thing has happened there in the Philippines due to a variety of factors. But yeah, so that's around 60%. We're also starting to gain traction in places like Indonesia, Vietnam. But also South America, right? So like Brazil is huge, Venezuela, Argentina is growing. So it's almost like COVID, right? So it's something that's like, it started in one place and it was super small. But then right now it's right. I saw photos of people in it looked like a school in Africa learning how to play Axie together. That was like mind blowing. Like I need to hunt down like and see what's going on there. Like I bet in 3 months we're gonna see like so many people in Ghana, Nigeria, because they can speak English quite well, right? So they kind of can interface with the rest of the community. That's one thing that we've seen is like, you know, being able to speak English. I think that if a country can speak English and has like low minimum wage, that's like a perfect storm for Axie. You know, obviously localization will help in the future. But yeah, we also have like lots of Ethereans, right, in the community who are, you know, a lot of them are from, you know, the US, Canada, North America, and Europe, right, Northern Europe. So we have a decent mix.
So one of the most impressive things to me about Axie is that it's got almost 250,000 daily active players, which really indicates to me that Axie has succeeded in getting a significant amount of people over the crypto hump, as in like Axie requires some sort of Ethereum native infrastructure in order to play it. And people seem to be figuring that out. How have you guys, give us your secrets. How have you guys gotten so many people using Ethereum infrastructure? How have you like eased that onboarding process?
Yeah. So we actually just hit 500,000 daily active users today.
Oh my God.
The data is out that we put out there gets outdated, you know, every week, right? So yeah, we just hit 500,000, a huge milestone. And yeah, I think it's been actually leaning in to what makes a crypto game, an NFT game special, right? Like focusing on the economy in many ways and giving economic freedom to our players. I think like the more we focus on that, and making this a game that would never be possible on traditional rails, you know, I think really doubling down on that and making sure that people understand the benefits, right? Making sure that they understand the benefits of peer-to-peer in-game markets for both the game assets as well as the in-game resources, right? There has been amazing work done by our community, right? One of the things that we build towards is for our crypto native users to start onboarding their friends and family, right? So a lot of our users who are, right, like they might be grandmas, aunts, uncles, they were actually onboarded by hand by one of our community members, right? Who was like, this product is so life-changing and amazing, and this community is so much fun to be part of. I wanna do this. I wanna share this experience with someone that I love. If you have your users thinking like that, it can actually be a quite difficult product to get onboarded on. You know, like in Korea, so I'm actually currently in Korea. I'm half Korean. Like all old people, all grandparents, they know how to use KakaoTalk, or they have KakaoTalk on their phone. Then none of them like actually set it up for themselves. All of their children see it as their like filial duty to set it up for them. Like in the future, that is actually how blockchain adoption is going to happen. It's like this myth of like, yeah, like a lot of everyday people, they're never gonna get like, no matter how simple we make it. Now, obviously we need to keep making it more beautiful, more simple, right? Like I'm not trying to like say that, but like there's still gonna be some level of complexity when it comes to like, you know, because of high tech, you know, new fintech technology. So yeah, I think a lot of it is about like, you know, onboarding, personally onboarding your friends and family. I'm getting them involved. And then, yeah, having something that once they do start, once they have it on their phone, they're going to get involved. I think that's another key with Axie is like, right, it's like the amount of time that people are spending on mobile phones, looking at mobile phones is skyrocketing. And especially in emerging markets, right, where, you know, a lot of people, they don't have bank accounts, but they have a phone. So in the future, we're going to do some really awesome stuff with this in the future where people, they might not have a bank account. They start playing Axie Infinity. They get some access to some SLP, some ETH, and then they get issued, right? They might get issued a card that they can then spend. So that's like kind of like really being onboarded into the kind of the legacy system, but through this back door of, of the EVM. So
this is so cool, right? So like, this is why Bankless Nation, if you're listening to this, this is why we've been so excited about games for so long, is because it offers this unique backdoor that regular DeFi and regular crypto doesn't offer, right? And here's the secret, when I'm like distilling from what you just said, Gio, is it's fun. Mm-hmm. People just want to have fun. And you know, like, God bless Bitcoin. It takes itself way too seriously, right? Digital gold. Ugh. Fixed cap supply. Ugh. Ethereum at some level too. I mean, these are like financial assets and we use like financial terms, and is it a capital asset or what? Like the thing with Axie is it's just so damn fun, right? Like you just like, you want to have the important people in your life, your friends and family, partake in this cultural game with you. And so you onboard it. The only time in recent experience, I remember something like this is when Pokemon Go hit the US, right? It was big for a while, like kind of this like location-based game, and like everybody was onboarding everyone else. The same thing is happening with Axie, specifically in places like the Philippines, but it's also spreading to other countries. And what's so cool about this is going to be the gateway drug to the rest of crypto and to DeFi. And it's kind of like a backdoor, as you say, Jiho, like a secret hack of getting people to go bankless through gaming. And it hasn't quite been tapped in such a way that I've seen. And this is maybe the first time that we've seen it start to hit something that like half a million daily active users, that is absolutely massive for anything in crypto. So man, I'm just bubbling over with excitement. That wasn't even a question. That was just a comment.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think like one of the key things to wrap around with Axie, wrap your head around with Axie, is that you can come into the ecosystem, right, with just the desire to learn and a lot of time on your hands. And right, you can make a nice CV, get accepted into a scholarship program. You know, at this point, you've never bought crypto, and then you start, you know, you get accepted, you start earning some love potions, maybe even some axes, then boom, right? You can sell them on Uniswap V3 for some ETH, and then okay, you're onboarded, right? We've always in crypto, we've taken for granted, oh, like, of course we should pay these miners, you know, we should pay them in crypto for solving math problems, right? Like, oh, of course we should pay yield to people who already own these assets, right? But the thing that we lack is adoption, right? From everyday people, right? So, and I think that gaming gives some way to, right, do that, you know, incentivization, to everyday people, right? Like so far we've incentivized security through mining and proof of work, and now, you know, proof of stake, right? And we've incentivized holding and, you know, just depositing an asset, right? But like we need to incentivize using an asset or using a product in a way that doesn't require capital in the beginning. So I think that's like one of the key breakthroughs that Axie has managed, and I think that it's gonna, more and more stuff like this is coming. It makes me super excited.
Jeff, I have a question about your guys' Discord and your guys' community in there. I think most people in Ethereum and DeFi will be familiar with what it's like to be in a Discord server and partake in the community there. But I think the Axie Infinity Discord might be a little bit different because your guys' Discord is over 200,000 people. Tell us about how the story of it getting that large. What was it like before it was that big? And now that it's this big, how has it gotten organized? What's it like to be in a 200,000 person Discord?
I mean, it's been amazing to see it go from the days of, you know, maybe 10 people, 20 people, you know, talking about the future. And it makes me a little bit emotional to think about, okay, those things, those grand visions that people were talking about, right? Like, seems like, yeah, we might actually make it happen. And I'm sure like everyone there, like they're ecstatic, and things have gone, you know, so much better than they ever expected. So yeah, it was, you know, it was really slow building, right? Like during the bear market, people didn't care about NFTs. There were days where I would go to sleep and wake up and nobody had said anything in the Discord. That feels bad. This feels like nobody's using your product. Like, you know, it feels bad, right? But yeah, I think like, you know, the community really got stronger and bonded during the bear market. And, you know, thankfully we kept giving them, you know, little small updates and new products to work with until things kind of hit a tipping point. And now, yeah, it's insane, right? Like we have to be so thoughtful about the way that we organize all of our channels. It's almost like, yeah, managing the Discord server channels is almost like, right, like a product design thought process, right? Where you have to be like, okay, they're joining and they're touching this. Okay, like this needs to be at eye level. right? So it's really intense, and it's gotten to the point where, right, like certain channels are just overrun with people coming in. But yeah, it's a really special feeling. And yeah, it's on track to become the largest Discord on Earth. We actually gained, I believe, 130,000 people this week in the Discord. Wow. So we went from 240 to 370. For reference, the Fortnite Discord is the largest Discord in the world right now. It only has 750,000 people in it. So we're actually on track to become the largest Discord in the world if we maintain that growth rate of the last week in 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, I hope it happens. We actually, if anyone from Discord is watching too, like I always have to DM all this Discord support staff on LinkedIn to get our server. There's a max server size that you can have. You can only have like 100K and then like 250K. And every time we hit that cap, I have to DM their entire support staff on LinkedIn. So yeah, if anyone from Discord is there, when we hit the next server limit,
just bump it already. Like, it's gonna happen.
I think actually Discord might face scaling issues due to the Axie channel one day.
Well, so that brings me to my next question: how 200,000 people? That's too many. That's too many people for any one person to be able to keep track of, or even a group of people. So how has the Axie community kind of like self organized into more bite-sized, manageable sizes?
Yeah, I mean, there's part of it. Part of it is like moderation in the core Discord, right? So we have like community members that step up, right? Almost, you know, in a kind of very DAO-like fashion where they're self-managing, they're helping the new players, they're doing support, right? And oftentimes we'll even hire from within the community, like people doing that kind of stuff or look to hire. But then, yeah, also we have, right, like other kind of sub-satellite Discords. So some of these Discords are related to the different scholarship programs. So they'll have like, you know, all their scholars, their guild mates slash scholars in one channel, and they're able to communicate quite well with them. And then, yeah, there are also the kind of more private, exclusive clubs, right? I think like part of NFTs, part of the whole game that we play with NFTs is about status and power, right? Who has the rarest stuff. So a lot of the people who own the rare stuff, or right, they like to hang out together and talk about the community, even work together, you know, they might even start projects, become business partners. So yeah, I think like there's a whole nother aspect of Axie that I think is super important, right? Is the social aspect, right? Some people, right, they just see it as a way to, you know, they're not like necessarily looking to earn a return. They might just, you know, want some of the rare stuff, meet some of the other people who have that rare stuff, and hang out with kind of like-minded individuals. I think like one of the amazing things is that like for so long we were, as a species, like basically confined to hang out with the people who are near us physically, right? But now it's like we can self-subdivide based on like our ideals, right? It happens to be that, you know, a lot of the people who own Mystic Axies or, you know, something like that, some super rare NFT, they have a lot of like the same interests, right? So it's kind of a cool way to filter for people that you might want to be friends with in real life.
Jiho, are the CryptoPunks people different from the Axie owning people culturally?
I don't want to start anything. CryptoPunks community is really awesome. I think they're amazing. There is definitely some overlap. There are also some differences. Right, so I think we're a little bit, right, like, you know, we're trying to experiment and do new things, whereas, right, like CryptoPunks is kind of very, it's like, you know, the rules. It's like, okay, there's 10,000, right? Like, you can use them as your profile picture. Like, you know, so yeah, I think there's a little bit of a cultural divide, but there's also a fair amount of overlap, right? It's like, I think like in crypto, we're always like, yeah, like, oh, it's fun to like, you know, make, you know, it's kind of fun to like start these little tribal wars. I think I'm also like, you know, I kind of like have a thing against like, you know, Bitcoin holders sometimes. But yeah, it's like, I think like sometimes also like, you know, we should try and focus on our similarities, right? It's like, we're all much more similar to each other than we are to, right, everyday people or muggles, like, as I like to call them.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a little bit like, you know, when it's good, it's a little bit like sports rivalries, but when it's bad, it gets tribal and weird and not awesome. But we've seen this play out in other places in crypto. It's funny that it's also playing out in the kind of the digital asset gaming realm. So let's maybe talk about this as we come to a close, Jiho. Axie has learned some key lessons, I think, through going through kind of the bear run and then building up to this point, right? Lessons about, you know, community and how digital assets can be so transformative and digital scarcity and the economics and even this emergent behavior that you hadn't anticipated. Project forward for us, because this is like actually in the scheme of the gaming industry is one experiment here. But how is this crypto technology going to change the gaming industry? And what things do you think we'll start to see coming out of the gaming industry? Because they got to be taking notice. If you guys flipping Fortnite as the biggest Discord server in the world, every game studio has got to be taking notice of what made you so successful. So what are the lessons that can be applied here? And what are we going to see in the gaming industry?
Yeah, I think that Axie will be kind of a category defining NFT game, player and game. So like maybe the Angry Birds or something like that. The World of Warcraft MMOs. I think whenever you give people a group of users more freedom, you start to see a lot of really interesting behavior start to emerge, right? I think this is like one of the fundamental innovations of crypto, right? With now we're just applying it to gamers. We're giving gamers free markets. We're giving them true control and ownership of their assets and also, as well as the games that they play. So we're going to see Fnatic game communities start to arise backing the developers that really get this model really well. I think the most Fnatic communities the world has ever seen are going to be NFT gaming communities because of the incentive alignment. I think it's just going to be incredible. I think that we're going to see a lot of like amazing experiments, but I think that we're also going to see the incumbents be kind of slow to react, right? There's a lot of open questions. They kind of raised their eyebrows. Obviously they're watching now. They still don't really know how to pull it off. A lot of it has to do with building for 3 years in a bear market, to be honest, right? Cause like, I don't even know how I would, right? Like even if you knew how to build Axie and copied it, like, could you actually reproduce its success, right? I mean, it's like the same thing with Ethereum, right? Like all the ETH killers, they say that they can make better tech, but it's all about the community, the developer community. I think like with Axie, right? Like, yeah, we have, we have something special that couldn't just be kind of like copy pasted. It's going to be interesting to see if it can, right? Like how translatable these models are to different communities, to different games. The thesis though, is that, they will be, it will require a very thoughtful execution and community building.
And what are your thoughts, Jiho, on like emerging markets and kind of like emerging countries? Because it is the case that like some people in the Philippines are making a living wage by playing Axies every day. Do you think this revolution will happen in emerging markets? And do you think it will kind of like start there at some level?
I think so. So this is what we're seeing. So here's some numbers. There are 3 billion gamers in the world. There are 2 billion underemployed people in the world. There are 2 billion pet owners in the world. I think like, yeah, the best NFT games, best crypto games are going to be at the intersection of all those markets. So I think like you could theoretically say that, in maybe 20 years, there might be 2 billion people. There might be 2 billion people, in these metaverse economies, in these digital economies. And the number of gamers might now be, at that time might be 4.5 billion because there's all these people who are, they're not playing games because they're unemployed, they're underemployed, they don't have time to play games, right? They need to figure out how to survive, right? Those people are people that should be playing games, right? So it's like, we're actually increasing the pool of potential gamers by quite a lot. So yeah, I think if I had to do a prediction, I think like 1 billion by 2032, a billion players in these metaverse game economies and kind of play to earn metaverse workers.
And Jiho, this reminds me of a section we touched on briefly, but didn't really go too much into. And I want to make sure that we cover it before we leave this podcast. The $25 million in daily volume going on in the Axie economy, plus the 50,000 NFTs that are sold per day. I'm guessing those numbers are already stale, judging by how every other number that we've produced is already like 7 days old already. But you said something earlier that the Axie team isn't capturing these fees. These aren't fees captured by the Axie team. So when we look at $25 million in daily volume, is that all going to players, as in players are earning all of that money, or at least the majority of it?
Yeah, so those are peer-to-peer, right? So it's $33 million today in peer-to-peer transactions. And the ecosystem fee is 4.25% of those transactions. And so, basically, Sky Mavis, the inventors, I like to think of us as the inventors of Axie Infinity. None of my teammates say that yet. Maybe I'll convert them. Sky Mavis, the inventors of Axie, right? Like, we have exposure to that fee by holding approximately 18% of the Axis supply.
And so the 50,000, probably larger, of NFTs being sold per day, $33 million per day, that's the income spread across all of the Axie players over the world on a daily basis. $33 million per day. Like, no wonder you guys call yourself a nation. The GDP of that is absolutely insane. Do you have any numbers today as to if you think of Axie as like an employer, how many employees what's the labor force magnitude of Axie Infinity?
Yeah, so you can think of it as like probably, I would say 80%, maybe 70-80%. Like, let's go with the Pareto power rule. Let's say 80% can be classified as metaverse workers, right? So that's like, I mean 400 some odd thousand kind of metaverse workers. And then, yeah, like kind of a monthly volume of, it's like 30 times 30 is like almost $1 billion, right? Wow. We're starting to get up there.
Yeah.
And I think the nations of the future are going to be opt-in. They're going to be people who are united by common beliefs and ideals. They're not going to be based on physical boundaries, right? And I think that's such an antiquated concept. Like, you have to be part of the nation that you were, you rolled out on day one. And so
I think that of all things that we've talked about on this podcast illustrates the power of the intersection of Ethereum and gaming the most. If you can build a game that users want to play and you can find a way to leverage digital assets and Ethereum's DeFi, then you can start to produce something that produces more value for the world than like the bottom, like 50% of all nations out there. So Jiho, like, congratulations on building one of the most successful, I don't like the word employers, but like revenue generating for its users, systems, economies, ecosystems of all time. That's absolutely crazy.
I think if you go to Token Terminal, right, it shows kind of like, the different revenue generating protocols. Axie this week generated $33 million in protocol revenue. Bitcoin only generated $5 million in fees.
The force to be reckoned with.
If you switch like the view to like maybe metrics or something, for some reason, I just want to show the chart with Bitcoin on it. But yeah, you guys can tinker around at home.
I think Bitcoin's somewhere in here. No, it's not.
Yeah, there is one view where you can also compare it against Bitcoin. And that one is my favorite. I think if you press metrics, try pressing metrics in the top left.
Metrics in the top left.
Yeah. There you go. Wow. Wow.
Right behind Uniswap.
Yeah, and go to weekly. That's like, I think, like the most.
Wow,
it's almost Ethereum. That's insane.
It's been a good week. This is incredible. Well, Jiho, this has been an absolute blast. So excited for what you guys have built. What's so cool is this is like a crypto gaming native economy, right? Not a lot of fiat on ramps here because you don't really need them. You guys instead have created an economy on the other side. So we are super excited to see where this goes. We always like to end these, Jiho, with some action items for folks. If people want to get started with Axie or learn a bit more about it, where should they go?
Yeah, I think you can follow Axie Infinity on Twitter. That's just at Axie Infinity. Try joining the Discord, discord.gg/Axie. I think YouTube has so much awesome content too. It's like if you type in how to get started with Axie or Axie Infinity starter guide, I think that's key for us is that we're able to leverage these channels like Twitch, right? Twitch viewership exploding and YouTube, right? Like we have all these content creators churning out content for onboarding. So yeah, I think YouTube also has a lot of amazing content out there. Also, if you just say, hey, Axie family, I'm looking to get started. Can someone help me? Like 30 people are going to show up.
You'll get swarmed. All right, guys, those are some action items for you. Speaking of great content on YouTube, Bankless channel, have you subscribed yet? If you are still listening, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button so we can get Bankless YouTube to more people too. Jiho, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been an honor, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. And we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, let's end it with some risks and disclaimers. Of course, none of this was financial advice. ETH is risky. Crypto is risky. Smooth love potions. There's probably some volatility too. You could lose what you put in, so be careful. But we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.